There are lots of popular ideas about how angels are involved in our world, but do those popular conceptions line up with what God's Word says?
Let's put that to the test.
This is Prove All Things, a podcast where we test everything so that we can hold fast what is good and abstain from what is evil.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Our topic is angels, and this is actually the second podcast on this subject. In the first podcast, we dealt with where angels came from and what they are. Our focus in this podcast is their role today. In the past, we have seen them be messengers. We have seen them used to carry out God's judgment in various ways. We've seen them come to the aid or protection of God's people. And so the question really becomes, in what capacity, if any, are they still active in any way today? And this is where the curiosity really kind of ramps up. You know, some of the things that we talked about in the previous podcast are a little bit easier to answer. We can easily just read a Bible verse or two that tells us that they are a spirit, that they are made higher than men, but lower than deity. We know that they're created. We know that they're not immune to doing wrong. And it's not hard to just flip through the Bible and see the work that they were doing in the Bible times. But when we start trying to answer some of the questions pertaining to their work today, we have a really hard time giving definitive answers. And I think we need to be ready to say that there are just some questions, there are some curiosities that are not going to be satisfied if we're sticking strictly with what we can read in the Bible. There are just some things that we don't know. However, that being said, there is a lot that we can know, and so let's talk about some of the things that we can know today about angels and their interaction with men.
Well, Jared, you made mention that people's curiosity is piqued by a few passages, I think, in the Scriptures. Maybe Matthew 18 is one of those that interests people, that talks about the fact that we need to take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. And we mentioned this last time, that this has bred a lot of speculation about guardian angels and that each individual person has guardian angels. And so maybe there are some things we should say about that, while we also understand that angels are still active in some way, and that's what we're going to try to explore in this podcast.
All right, so one of the things that we see, you know, throughout is angels maybe coming to rescue God's people in some way. And I think about in the New Testament, you have in Acts chapter 12 and verse 7 that when Peter was in prison, it says, "Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison, and he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, Arise quickly. And his chains fell off." And the story goes on to say the doors open and he finds himself outside. So was this Peter's guardian angel protecting him? And if so, should we expect that type of protection for all people?
Well, when Luke tells us about Peter's deliverance, he has just told us about James the apostle being killed. So we see the angel helping Peter escape, but what about James? Where was James' guardian angel, if that's what Matthew chapter 18 really teaches, that we all have a guardian angel that protects us from all harm in this world? And it probably would be important for us to remember that God's goal for us is to not stay here forever, to be safe here forever, to be happy here forever. Our forever home is heaven, and that's where our joy is going to be, and that's where we're going to experience the deliverance that God wants for us. But even saying that, I still don't think that we have completely discounted the idea that angels do something today.
Yeah, one of the things, as you mentioned there, if we were to look at the Scripture and try to make an argument that God's purpose and intent for angels is to protect us physically, we would have a really hard time doing that because a lot of God's servants suffered great physical harm along the way. But I think we mentioned last time when we were talking about demons that there is a spiritual warfare that's taking place with principalities and powers in heavenly places. And it does seem that angelic beings play a big role in that spiritual warfare.
Yep, there are a few times in the Scriptures where we just get a peek at maybe some of the things that are involved. And one of the passages that raises maybe more questions in my mind than gives answers, but nonetheless helps us to understand how angels perhaps are active, is the passage in Daniel chapter 10, where Daniel has petitioned God, and here we are 3 weeks after that petition, and an angel appears to him and says, "I would have come earlier, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And then Michael, one of the chief priests, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. Now, this is a fascinating passage that tells us that the answer to Daniel's prayer was dependent on some sort of spiritual conflict that if we didn't have this passage, we would have no indication about why that answer was delayed. And yet we just get kind of the curtain pulled back for just a moment to show us that there's something even beyond us. There's a cosmic warfare going on that has implications for our lives.
And it seems to be an overlap because there's some interference caused by the Persians, which would refer to humans and something that's happening on Earth. And so there are these angels fighting behind the scenes in terms of the conflict, and that affected the angels' ability to respond to Daniel's prayer.
Yeah, another passage where we see angels involved in this spiritual warfare is in Revelation 12, 7 through 9. Where it talks about that war broke out in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought with the dragon and his angels fought, and they did not prevail, nor was place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world, and he was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I think we made mention of this when we were talking about demons as well. The context here would seem to indicate this spiritual conflict that was taking place as Christ was on earth and as he was being crucified, and in that Satan was defeated. But we see the angelic warfare that's taking place over this event that was occurring on earth.
So here's a question in that regard. If angels were still active today, or if they are still active today in protecting God's children in some way or another, would we even know what that looked like?
Well, I think that it might be that in certain situations, we would have to say that we don't know. That is, that perhaps there is some kind of protection that's being provided for us, but that we would just perceive it as providential, or that we would perceive it as a natural way of escape from that. But we can't necessarily say that just because we're not preserved through some crisis that God didn't care or that angels weren't watching out for us. I think we established from Matthew 18 that God is always aware and that angels are always aware, but that doesn't necessarily mean that he won't allow us to go through some difficulty.
Yeah, it may be difficult to tell how angels are being used, whether these are just natural events or whether angels are behind it. I can think of one example in Acts chapter 12 where Herod was struck by an angel. It says immediately the angel of the Lord struck him because he did not give glory to God, and he was eaten by worms and died. So the inspired writer gives credit to an angel for doing this, but if we were to look at this historically, I think Josephus writes of this event, and if we were to look at it, we could say, well, that was just a natural occurrence that took place, but an angel was behind it. So maybe without revelation, we couldn't know for sure, but maybe angels operate that way, and it appears natural occurrences, but angels would be behind it.
And what confidence does that, give to the Christian? How does that help us when we leave it kind of ambiguous like that? Well, it helps us because we can still thank God for everything that's good. We can thank God for every breath. We can thank God for every meal. And we can know that, God is in control of things and working things according to his wisdom. And if we depart from this life to enter into our inheritance, then there's nothing there to be disappointed with.
So a couple of questions related to that I'm sure that many would have is, number one, do angels still appear to us today? We see them appearing to humans in the biblical account. And then number two, do they reveal information to us today as they did in the biblical times?
So in Hebrews chapter 13, the Hebrew writer tells the brethren there to continue in their love for the brethren, to show hospitality, because in doing so, some had entertained angels unaware. I think it's possible that we could have perceived angels, but we would be unaware of that. I don't know everything to say about that, except to say that the Hebrew writer leaves it open to say that it is possible that in showing hospitality, we actually show hospitality to messengers or servants of God. And maybe the word there is, we know it's referring to the case of Abraham. So perhaps angels in a spiritual being sense. But I think that the Hebrew writer does indicate that we probably wouldn't be aware of it in that case. There are certain places in the scriptures where we see angels manifest themselves in a way that it's very clear that they're angels. I think about when the angel appeared to Zacharias in Luke chapter 1. He had to say, "Don't be afraid," because Zacharias was terrified of him. And so this expression, this manifestation was something that was very obviously an angelic expression. And he came with a message then. But the Bible is also very clear about if an angel was to come today with a message, how we ought to respond to that, right?
Absolutely, yeah. If we or an angel from heaven were to bring you something that is contrary to what you've already been taught, then we would not receive that. And I think the Hebrew writer, again, in Hebrews chapter 1, as he's introducing to us the time that we're in now, there was a time in which God spoke through in various ways and communicated with humans in different ways. But now he has limited our communication through Jesus, his son.
Yeah, you made mention of Galatians 1, right? That was the first passage you made mention of. And specifically there is a discussion about changing the gospel message and changing how someone would respond to the gospel message. And so from time to time, maybe people say that they have heard an angel tell them something that contradicts what God's word has to say. And we would have to say, well, maybe they did. We doubt it, but perhaps they did. But we can't take that over what God's word says, no matter if that's the case or not. You know, there are two major world religions that are built on the idea that an angel appeared to a person and revealed something different than what God had said already. And we'd have to say, you know, we don't know whether or not an angel appeared to them, but even if they did, Paul says, he hedges that and says, even if they do, don't listen to them. Listen to what God has already delivered.
Yeah, I don't even think when him saying, even if they do, I don't even think he's really talking about that as much of a possibility. It's just, even if they did, kind of like in 1 Corinthians 13, with even if someone could speak with the tongues of an angel, well, no, we can't,
sure,
but
right.
Even if that were a possibility.
All right, so we just have a few minutes left here, and maybe we could look to the future, because the Bible gives some indication that angels are going to be very active in what our future would hold. For instance, when we die, there seems to be some indications that angels are active in that. In Luke chapter 16 and verse 22, as Jesus told the story about Lazarus and the rich man, he said, "So it was when the beggar died that he was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom." I don't know all that's involved in that, but we do have that little reference right there that it seems that angels are involved somehow in our dying and being transported to the Hadean realm or the next place.
Yeah, and maybe that addresses a misconception too that we want to address, that there is the idea out there that we become angels when we die, and this does not indicate that at all. It doesn't mean that angels aren't involved in our death, but it shows us that, like we made mention in the last episode, angels are created beings that we don't become when we die. We are carried by those angels to our resting place.
In Jesus' answer to the Sadducees about the question of the resurrection, one of the responses that he gave to them about their confusion with the issue was that in the resurrection, marriage is not going to be an issue. And God's not going to have any trouble sorting that out, because in the resurrection, human beings are like the angels of heaven. They don't marry, and they're not given in marriage. In Luke's account of that same conversation, Jesus says they are equal to the angels, which kind of maybe tells us or points to what we will be doing in eternity. Things can be different and still be equal, kind of like, you know, Paul was different from the other apostles, but he was also equal to the other apostles. And so we're distinct from the angels, but we're going to, you know, share in the existence that they share in after we die and after, you know, the consummation, I guess, of the kingdom.
Right. And one of the ways that we see angels used throughout the scriptures is in judgment. And that's something that they're also going to be involved in the final judgment. There's a couple of places I think we could turn to indicate that angels have a role to play in the final judgment of the righteous and the wicked.
Yeah, when Jesus is telling the parable of the weeds, he says there in Matthew 13:41, the Son of Man will send forth his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all stumbling blocks and those who commit lawlessness. So I think we see activity of angels on both sides of the second coming, that there is a sense in which they are delivering us to an eternal abode, and the unrighteous as well are going to be separated by the angels.
Yeah, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7 and 8, it talks about when the Lord is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels and flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel. Matthew 25, we have that same picture there. When the Son of Man comes in his glory with all of the holy angels with him, he will sit on the throne of glory, and all nations will be gathered before him, and he'll separate them one from another as a shepherd divides the sheep. So we do have that picture that they're going to be very involved when the Lord returns and in the judgment scene as well.
Yeah, that's right. So there are a lot of possibilities out there as to exactly what all this could mean. And Orson?
Yeah, and finally, one day we're going to be worshiping with the angels in heaven. You know, we are going to be there around God's throne. Revelation 5 points to the fact that they are already there praising God and praising the Lamb who was slain for us. Revelation 5 says that we will one day... It gives the indication that one day we will join in that song in heaven too. And I think that points to what Tad was saying, is that one day we will be equal with them in being able to praise God around his throne.
Yeah, that's right. So until that point, there are still going to remain a lot of speculations, a lot of curiosities. And let me also say, as we're wrapping up, some of these are much more harmless than others. You know, sometimes we say when somebody dies that heaven gained another angel. Well, what they're really implying is that when we die, we become angels. Well, the Bible doesn't specifically tell us that. That's kind of harmless, I guess, in some ways. It's much less harmless than you believing an angel is appearing to you and they're telling you something that is contrary to the Bible. So again, this is our second podcast on this particular subject, and we might could even do another or expand on some of these ideas a little bit more. Hopefully, though, we have exhausted a lot of the curiosities and we've given some good answers to that. If by chance you have something that you disagree with, something that you want us to consider that maybe we're not thinking about, or perhaps you just have more questions about the subject, please reach out to us, proveallthings@mail.com. Thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening to Prove All Things. To suggest a topic, raise a question, or offer a comment, write to proveallthings@mail.com.